story that I covered last week, but I didn't finish the story. I talked about the Magi, but I didn't finish the story as to what happened after the Magi left. So we read from Matthew. After Jesus' birth, which happened in Bethlehem of Judea during the reign of Herod, astrologers from the east arrived in Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the newborn ruler of the Jews? We observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." At this news, Herod became greatly disturbed, as did all of Jerusalem. Summoning all the chief priests and religious scholars of the people, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they informed him. "Here's what the prophet has written. And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, since from you will come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Herod called the astrologers aside and found out from them the exact time of the star's appearance. Then he sent them to Bethlehem after having instructed them, "Go and get detailed information about the child. When you have found him, report back to me so that I may go and offer homage too." After the audience with the ruler, they set out. The star which they had observed at its rising went ahead of them until it came to a standstill over the place where the child lay. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and upon entering the house, found the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and paid homage. Then they opened their coffers and presented the child with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The astrologers were warned in a dream not to return to Herod, so they went back to their own country by another route. After the astrologers had left, the angel of God suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph with the command, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you otherwise. Herod is searching for the child to destroy him." Joseph got up, woke up Jesus and Mary, and they left that night for Egypt, and they stayed there until the death of Herod to fulfill what God had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my own." Herod became furious when he realized that the astrologers had outwitted him. He gave orders to kill all male children that were 2 years old and younger living in and around Bethlehem. The age of the children was based on the date Herod had learned from the astrologers. Then what was spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, sobbing and lamenting loudly. It was Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, for they were no more. This is one of the difficult stories of our ancient scriptures. As you noted, by the time the astrologers or wise men got to Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph were living in a home there, and their child was about 2 years old at this point. That's why Herod said to kill the children 2 years old and younger, or the males 2 years old and younger. We usually tack that story on the end of the nativity narrative when it usually comes much later in the story, about 2 years. Last week on Epiphany Sunday, I began by exploring the story of the Magi, which is the conclusion for us of the nativity story in the Gospel of Matthew. He doesn't talk about the beforehand part. He talks about the birth and then the Magi. We spoke about these Magi, or some call them wise men or astrologers, as the translation this morning names them. And they are setting out in faith to follow a star that will lead them to something. We know from the story it led them to Jesus, but they didn't know at the time who they were going to see. But I left out this part about Herod's maniacal killing of the children when he grew afraid that his throne would be taken from him. And then we have the subsequent fleeing of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to Egypt and taking the baby in order to escape the wrath of Herod's reign of terror, sometimes called the massacre of the infants. And last week I asked you this question: what are you seeking? What are you seeking? See, the astrologers had set out in faith to seek something previously unknown to them. If it wasn't in faith, then they already knew what they were looking for. They didn't know. They, of course, were seeking wisdom for certain. But in this case, what they ended up finding was wisdom in a person, in the person of Jesus, God personified. And when they found what they had been looking for, they not only worshiped him, they actually gave him gifts of inestimable worth. What they sought, they somehow knew they had found in Jesus. Wisdom found in a child. God-imbued wisdom. Now, the flip side of that is Herod. Herod, who was terrified of losing what he had, he wanted security, wealth, power, and authority, went about destroying anything that threatened any of those things. Getting rid of any threat. The Magi, in faith, sought wisdom, sought God, life, light, and were willing to risk security, wealth, certainty, time, and energy to find those things. Joseph and Mary, trusting in God, risked their very lives to protect their child, a risk requiring deep faith. What are you seeking? What are you seeking? The question I want to ask you today, further to that, is, are you willing to step out in faith? Are you willing to step out in faith? Because if what we're seeking doesn't really require faith, is it even worth it? Or are we just settling for something that's safe and predictable and comfortable, something that won't require anything of us and certainly won't require us to change? Stepping out in faith brings about change. God will always ask us to seek something that requires faith, not security. In this story, Matthew contrasts the conditions of living in fear and living in faith. Herod, who was seeking worldly status and power, lived in fear, while the Magi, Joseph and Mary, sought to do God's will and lived in faith. One required force to make it happen. The other required faith. What are you seeking? And are you willing to step out in faith? A friend of mine gave me the book Camping with Kierkegaard for Christmas by J. Aaron Simmons. It's kind of a slow read because I don't read philosophy that often, so it's kind of a slog. But right away, Simmons captured my attention in the first chapter when he defined faith, probably one of the best definitions of faith I have ever read, and I really had to think about it. But faith, he says, is risk with direction. Let this sink in. Faith is risk with direction. I think it's a pretty good definition of faith, actually. Think about it. If we are not willing to take risks, true risks, we have no faith. We're going on certainty. Faith requires real risk. Risk meaning you don't know the outcome or what might happen by taking this step, but you're willing to take the step and trust anyway. You're willing to risk not knowing. We are willing to take risks because we trust God. And if we're not willing to risk, are we really living a faithful life? Really, what we're doing is we're basically living as functional atheists if we're not willing to take significant risk. Faith requires risk. King Herod was an incredibly tyrannical king and paranoid. His hold on reality was tenuous, as was his reign over his people. And he lived in a constant fear of losing power, of wealth, and authority. And he did whatever it took to maintain these. He gathered around him sycophants, people who sucked up to him in order to retain complete control over everything. And that included some of the religious elite of the day, many of whom were like him, who craved power and wealth and prestige, just like many religious leaders today do. Herod was not willing to take any risks, even for this child who was said to be the Messiah. Wanted nothing to do with it. He suppressed anything that threatened him, including children, even his own sons, whom he killed if they threatened him. No risk, zero. Herod lived in constant fear of losing what he had. Isn't that quite often why we don't take risks? Because we're afraid. The Magi, on the other hand, Joseph and Mary, had no sense of where they were going or what they would find on the other end. But they were actually willing to risk everything for something more important, more worthwhile, more God-honoring, more life-giving. They wanted something that would give them more. Not in a worldly sense, but in a God sense. Which brings us to the second part of this definition of faith. Faith is risk with direction. Faithful living will actually set us out on a particular course. We'll set a course for something, not knowing the outcome, but faithful living sets a direction. Risk for risk's sake may be lots of fun. You know, I've never jumped out of a plane. I wouldn't mind doing it, but it's not the risk that we're talking about today. Or risk to gain more worldly stuff, wealth or power or status, may be attractive to us, but it comes really actually from a fairly self-centered place. We want more of the worldly things in our lives. Risk that seeks life, though, and is worthy of our risk, requires intention and direction. You take these kinds of risks and set this direction in service to a good life or a God life. Faith is risk with direction, a worthy direction that is life-giving. And Matthew, in this story, very clearly contrasts faith with fear through these characters of the Magi and Joseph and Mary and Herod. If we live in fear, we're not willing to take much risk. If we live faithfully, we will risk much for the sake of transformed lives. Now, we talk a lot about transformed lives in the church. We don't talk much about how lives are transformed. They're transformed by taking risks that require faith, because if we won't get out of our comfort zone, we don't learn anything new. We're not transformed. If we take no risks, nothing's going to happen. We grow. We are transformed by seeking that which we don't yet have or know. It's not safe. Transformation can't take place by continuing to live in fear and not stepping out in faith, by continuing to do just what we're doing over and over again, playing it safe. Nobody's lives are changed when we're not prepared to seek something else and take risks to find it. Nobody's lives change. The Magi took a big risk to seek what they did not yet know or have. They stepped out in faith. Joseph took a big risk in fleeing to Egypt with Jesus in order to protect him, not knowing what was ahead. They acted in faith. Herod chose to live in fear, not take any risk, and instead destroy anything that threatened what he already had. To have faith, we must risk seeking something without any certainty of its outcome. If we know where we're going, where it will end, and what it will yield, it's not faith. It's a plan with an intended outcome. Faith is actually a journey without having any certainty as to where we're going. Fear is a condition that seeks security and hinders transformation. Which are we going to live in? Faith or fear? What are you seeking? And are you willing to step out in faith? Risk with direction. Because I believe more than ever, this world needs more faithful people willing to take risks. Are we willing to be one of them? Let's take a moment for reflection.